couldn't agree more with the words of that song. It's so good to be back here in service. I've missed a few Sundays due to a work schedule. But hearing the words of that song this morning, I could raise my hand and say amen. The Lord has been so good to me to be back in service singing those songs this morning. Singing that song in the fold of His love. Being back here with the saints, hearing the testimonies, the thanksgivings, and you're still here this morning. I was thinking earlier this week, just not being able to be here, and just not that I would say that I was distant from God, but I felt something missing, maybe just a piece of something missing. And I was praying to the Lord, and I feel like this morning that I found that peace, and that's here with you, and that's here talking about the things of the Lord and singing songs, hearing specials, and I just thank the Lord so much for all He's done for us. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. As for your prayers this morning, I feel desperate for the Lord's help this morning and feel like we need Him as I attempt to share this thought with you that I feel like He's given me. Last couple weeks or so, I guess my mind's just kind of been thinking about all the things that we need in order to make heaven our home, in order to get to heaven. All the things that let's say the Christian life or the Christian walk is made up of. So many different things. I think of the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, joy, hope, maybe that's one of them. I think of love. I think of faith. All these things that are necessary to us, that are necessary for us to have, that are necessary for the Lord to give and to help us with in order to make heaven. I think of it as pieces maybe of a puzzle. You take a puzzle and you dump it out on the table, and there's many pieces there. But if you turn every one of them over and you can see the part of the picture, and you come and you put those together, and then you'll have something complete. And I see these few things that I mentioned as maybe being pieces of a puzzle. And there are many, many more. Some I'm sure that they're sure I haven't even realized yet. There will be pieces of my puzzle that I will have to have. But I'm thinking of something that I feel, and that I feel is the topic of this thought, that I feel is one of those pieces of the puzzle. Something I feel that is just as important as peace, comfort, joy, patience, all those things. I feel like there is something just as important. And I feel like that maybe sometimes in the world we live today, it doesn't get mentioned enough. Or maybe there isn't enough thought given toward it. Maybe it's not talked about enough. And that is on the thought or the topic of forgiveness. Pray for me this morning. The topic of forgiveness. Did you know that there is a reward, a blessing for those that can find it in their heart and have the ability to forgive? But just as that is so, there is also a major, major, major consequence for those who do not forgive, that have the spirit of unforgiveness. And I feel like that's where most of my thought might go this morning. But be assured there is a blessing and a reward for those that do forgive. But before I get too involved in my thought, I do feel like that you can't speak of forgiveness. And I feel like it should be said in a reminder of how Jesus forgave. And for the example that He set, I'd like to turn to a couple scriptures, remind us of that over in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, we'll read a few verses here. Jesus, our example, forgave, set the example of forgiveness. And of course, that's what we learn from. That's what we strive for, is the example that He set. Over here in Ephesians chapter 1, listen to the words of these few verses and how precious and how comforting they are. Starting at verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him." Do you know He chose you to be in Him? He chose you to be a part of Him. Each one of us individually, He has put His finger on and chosen you. He wants you to be a part of Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Folks, this is where He wants us to be. To be holy and without blame before Him in love. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." And listen to verse 7. "In whom," and one translation says, in him or in whom, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Thank the Lord that we are here today. And if you can raise your hand and say, "Thank the Lord for how good He has been to me. And thank the Lord that I am here today. And that I can testify to His goodness and what He has done for me. And that I have been redeemed through His blood of my sins, according to the riches of His grace." Oh, I thank the Lord so much this morning that He took the time to take my sins, my past sins, upon Himself. And that He took the time to take each and every one of our sins and every sin of this world and every trouble and every pain and every heartache upon Himself, gave all He had, gave everything He had to forgive us of our wrongdoings and to forgive us of our sins. Thank the Lord for His forgiveness this morning. Thank the Lord so much for His forgiveness. Is it safe to say that in the way that He forgave, in the way that He forgives us of our sins and He remembers them no more and He thinks about them no more, as long as we come to Him with a truly repentant heart, can we say in the way He did that He set the standard of how it should be done? That is, when somebody does something to us, as people have done to Him for years gone by, and as people continue to do to Him today, can we say that He set the standard, the perfect example of how it should be done. Thank the Lord that we have the opportunity to be forgiven of anything that we have done that has displeased Him. No, if you have been in the place where you have been in the Lord's favor and pleased the Lord, but you have fallen out of that place, no matter how far you have gone, no matter how desperate you may feel, no matter how you may, there's no hope. I've done it too many times. I've done it over and over. I've sought the Lord. I've asked forgiveness. And yes, He forgave me, but here I am again in the same place. And folks, the thing is, with the way Jesus taught on forgiveness, there is not too many times that we can come back to Him over and over. And I'm not saying that we should go do something and with the thought that I can just go back to the Lord and ask forgiveness and He's going to forgive me and I can carry on. It's not that type of forgiveness. But folks, He wants to do something for us. He wants to do something special for us. And I'm going to tell you, no matter where you are in your life and where you find yourself in your life, the Lord still offers the same forgiveness that He offered. It's the same forgiveness that He offered when He hung on that tree and when He died for this world and when He died for you. Thank the Lord for what He did for us. So on forgiveness, what does it have? What's my part in that? What does that have to do with me? How do I utilize forgiveness in my life? Well, Peter had the same question. And that's found over in Matthew 18. Peter had a question on forgiveness. Went to the Lord and asked Him about it. It's a couple verses there. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. It says, "Then Peter came to Him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" Now, I read this verse, and I mean, I've read this verse all my life, and it's very familiar scripture to me. But at this time, as I was reading, preparing for this thought, I read till seven times. And I had to wonder. I said, you know, I thought in my mind, I said, man, where did Peter get the word seven from? Why did the number seven come to Peter's mind? And so I tried to do a quick little bit of research just to find out maybe why Peter, I mean, why not use 8, 9, 10, any number, but why seven? Well, just in the little bit of research that I did, I found that in Jewish tradition, the number seven was a very, very important number. And that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother topic of what seven meant to the Jews and how they utilized it. But just a couple quick notes. Seven was, they held that number of very, very great importance. Just a couple things. Seven, they knew, as the world, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. They held that very close. The seventh day was a day of rest. Jewish tradition, when there was a death of a close relative or a family, there was traditionally, you had 7 days of mourning. And the list goes on and on and on of how they utilized this number seven. Over in Leviticus chapter 8, it references when Moses, I believe it was Moses, anointed Aaron to priest. He was instructed to stay in the tabernacle for 7 days. So all these things carried down. So the number seven being very, very important. Maybe that's why the number came to him. But I also ran across a little thought. In Jewish tradition, it was kind of a rule of thumb that everybody followed. And Peter here is asking about forgiveness. If somebody comes against me, how many times should I forgive him? Well, in Jewish tradition, a rule of thumb that most followed was you were only required to forgive three times. All right? So, just the way I see it, just the way I think about it, if that being true, and Peter knew that, I kind of see Peter thinking, okay, I'd like to know a little bit more about this forgiveness thing. You know, maybe our tradition, we've three times I can forgive somebody and I'm going to be okay. But I'm going to ask the Lord about it. This is my thinking. I'm going to ask the Lord about it. And I tell you what, I'm going to throw that number 7 out there. And it's, man, what's he going to think when I throw that number 7 out there? I mean, three's the good rule of thumb, but I'm going to throw 7 in. Let's see what he has to say about that. Maybe it didn't go that way, but that's just kind of the way I seen it. Well, the Lord answered Peter and said, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now, I have to think, I wonder if Peter got his fingers out and kind of started trying to do the math on that. And thinking, wow, 70 times, 70 times, no way. Maybe he didn't. I would have done the math on it. Because, man, it's three times. I know the Scripture doesn't mention the three times. But if my practice has been, all right, I'm going to forgive you first couple times, maybe one or two more, and then all of a sudden Jesus tells me I got to forgive you 70 times 7, seems a little bit excessive. Well, Jesus goes on to tell this story, and we're not going to read through the whole story. Just some of the highlights. There was a king who had a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. And he called that servant and laid it out before him, said, this is what you owe me. Well, as the Scripture reads, the servant didn't have it, didn't have the money, couldn't pay up. So the king ordered that the man would be sold, his wife, his children would be sold, and everything they made off of that could repay some of the debt. The servant began to beg for mercy. Please, king, have mercy on me, please. Said the king was moved with compassion. And not only did he say, all right, don't worry about... He didn't say, don't worry about paying me right now. We'll get it later. No, he said he forgave him of his debt. He erased it. He said, all right, look, don't worry about it no more. You don't owe me a thing. Go on, do your thing, go on about your way. So the servant just did that. He got up. And he went down the road, and he found one of his servants that owed him 100 pence. Now, I don't know the math in 10,000 talents compared to 100 pence. I don't know the math, but I'm assuming it was a significant difference. It sounds pretty significant to me. And this fellow owed him 100 pence. It says he went and he grabbed him by the throat. Maybe he shook him a little bit and looked at him and said, I want my money. Give me my money. And it says the servant begged for mercy and says, I don't have it. I don't have it. What do you want me to do? He said he threw him somewhere and, where he threw him. Anyway, with the tormentors in the dungeon or something. I don't know where he threw him. But anyway, he would not forgive him his debt. He said, no. He said, you're going to stay here till you are able to pay me back. The king got word and said, thou wicked. It says, verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him. Oh, so this is the, okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back and read that, make sure I get it right. And his verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and he cast him into prison. It wasn't the dungeon, it was the prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they went and they told the king. The king found out and said, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So listen to this verse 35. So likewise, now this is Jesus talking back to his disciples after this story. so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. All right? So do we see the consequence? All right? Jesus mentions it again over in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught," or can also be translated anything, "against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive ye your trespasses." Paul mentions it again over in Colossians 3:13. We won't turn there due to time. But what these are saying is, Jesus forgave me. If I cannot forgive others as He did to me, if I cannot do to others what Jesus did to me, then the consequence is that I will not be forgiven. And I feel like on the topic of forgiveness, in the world we live today, in society today, forgiveness is a popular word. It's easy to say, it's easy to pronounce. I could even go get a handful of people and they could probably all give you a very accurate definition of what forgiveness means. But I wonder how much thought is actually put into the thought of unforgiveness and the consequence of unforgiveness. I feel like the whole forgiveness topic and conversation is something that has kind of fallen through the cracks. We live in a world today where everybody is getting offended and everybody's getting their feelings hurt. And we live in a world of sensitive people. What I've heard it said, little sensitive Susies running around everywhere. You know, he looked at me wrong and she stepped on my big toe and I don't like the way they combed their hair this morning and I take offense to that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to take offense. But after that offense is made, the wrong part is what am I going to do with those feelings that I have allowed to, when somebody comes against me and does something to me and how it makes me feel right away? Am I releasing those feelings? Am I bringing those feelings to the Lord? And am I forgiving that person? Or am I going to continue to let those to build and to fester up and to create ill will thoughts to someone or my brother or my sister or my mom or my dad? And folks, we live in a day and age where our natural response, that when somebody does something to me, is just to lash out and see what I can do to put you in your place or to get back or to say something that's just going to cut you down a little bit. I mean, look, it's my right, right? It's my right. I have freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want to say. And I can do whatever I want to do. If you offend me and I don't like the way you offended me, it's my right to let you know how I feel about it. It's my right to treat. Isn't? I'm not saying it's our right, but I feel like that's how society looks at it nowadays. Look at all the bickering back and forth, and all the unrest and the turmoil going on, and the back and forth between individuals. And I wonder, do we ever stop and think that maybe this isn't the way God intended for things to be handled? Maybe, just maybe, Jesus forgave. Jesus forgave so many things. So many, much more things than anybody would ever do to me. And He was able to forgive. Maybe all this that we see going on, maybe this isn't the way that He planned for things to be. And maybe that's why Jesus could see to what was to be and had something to say on forgiveness. Paul said, Colossians 3 and 13, I will read that verse. Colossians 3 and 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I feel like we have forgotten the importance of living together in harmony and unity. I feel like we have forgotten, and I'm speaking to the world. I'm speaking of the world as a whole, not to us in this room individually. But I feel like we have forgotten, with everything going on in the world, where Paul said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's about living together in love, in harmony, doing what is necessary to get along, to be able to live with and deal with. Being able to forgive. When someone comes against me and does me wrong, it might hurt. There are going to be times it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Look at how our Lord hurt. There's nowhere in Scripture says that we can come to a place where nothing that anybody ever says or does is not going to hurt us. It's going to hurt. But there's also a place that the Lord wants us to be able to come to in our lives, to be able to still have love and compassion on those that have done us wrong. There are times that it's easy to forgive. You come walk up to me and accidentally step on my big toe, and you realize what you've done, all of a sudden you start apologizing and say, I'm so sorry. I can take that. It's okay. I'll forgive you. It's no big deal. But there are places in life, I know, that we're going to come to where people have done us wrong, that maybe they've done something to us that has affected us personally. Maybe it's affected our marriage, our relationships. Maybe it affected me as a child. Maybe someone said something to me or did something to me and it scarred me. Maybe I have some scars from something that someone said or did. And maybe there's not an ounce of remorse. Maybe they've never said anything about it, that you don't see any signs of them being sorry. What then? Do I still have to forgive? How many times? Three times? Peter asked if seven was enough. And the Lord said 70 times seven. So you mean I have to forgive them 490 times? Yes, you do. But what if they did it 491 times? Then what? Well, the point is, I don't think Jesus ever intended for Peter to go up to somebody and say, "You're forgiven 490 times. You just forgive. As many times as necessary. As many times as it takes. Even if someone comes up to you and does the same thing over and over and over again. Even if that same person that we sit next to in service comes up and says something to me and I'm tired of hearing it and they always say this to me and here they go again and they do it over and over and over again. Do I have to forgive?" The Lord said, "Peter, you've got to forgive them. Forgive. That's, if you don't, if you cannot forgive to the biggest thing, the simplest thing," He didn't put stipulations on what we were to forgive and not forgive. He said, "Forgive. And if you don't, and if you don't forgive, My Father will not forgive you." Man, that sounds kind of harsh, don't it? That sounds kind of strict. It does sound strict. And it's something to think about. In this day and time, in this world we're living in, folks, it's if it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen sooner or later. Somebody is going to bump into you. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something to hurt you. And the easiest thing to do would be turn around, put your nose up in the air and says, "I'm putting them on my list. Their name's going on my list. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to avoid them at all costs. I don't want nothing to do with them anymore." That's the easy route. But the reminder is, there are consequences for not forgiving. Just as there are blessings and rewards for someone with a forgiving spirit. I said Jesus set the standard. I think of all the hurts that we have dealt with here on earth. Many have dealt with many more hurts than I would ever even think about having to deal with. But I think of what Jesus went through on this earth. And I think about all He went through and all the people that, man, just all that were against Him. And from His time in the garden to His death on the cross, I think of, if you can put yourself in the frame of mind and you think of the details, as we have many, many times, where they whipped Him and they beat Him and they spit on Him and they called Him names and they mocked Him and they shoved thorns in His head. All these things. The physical hurts, the mental hurts, the scars that were left in His hands. But what were the words and some of the final words before He died that He said? He said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Folks, if He set the standard, and if He can forgive all those things that have ever been done, and if He can continue to forgive those in this world today that are so against Him, and if He has forgiven me, can I not do that to those around me? Can I not do that to my brothers and my sisters? Can I not live in unity and love to those around me? I think we can. With His help, with the Lord's help, we can have the spirit of forgiveness. So that's my thought. Lord, help us to be reminded of the blessings of forgiveness and the consequences of unforgiveness. Y'all pray for me.